Welcome to Group Chat. I'm Bentley, and I'm here with Nayila Ansari Cotillo. I just love having you
back,
here.
Back with the crew today. we have an awesome crew today. I'm actually really excited for this episode.
I am too. It's sort of turned into our own personal party.
It is. It's our own personal group chat.
Yeah.
In life.
And of course, Charles. Should I call you Sir Charles?
Sir Charles.
No.
Sir Charles.
Mr. Charles.
Mr. Charles.
please don't do that.
Producer extraordinaire.
I'm already accepting the unk stage that I'm in. I don't want the sir or mister.
All right. Just showing respect. So we are here today. We've got a few different things we're talking about today, and I'm excited for our lineup. As you know, if you joined us last week, we have started a new feature at the beginning of group chat called State of the Scroll. And Charles, what do we have going on today? What has been happening?
Well, in our group chat, unfortunately, the last 2 weeks, we've had to start off on somber notes.
I know. Yeah.
So Monday, we received news of the passing of Academy Award winning actor, director, storyteller Robert Duvall at the age of 95.
95?
Best known.
I know. I didn't realize he was that old.
Yeah. Best known for his roles in The Godfather 1 and 2, Apocalypse Now, and The Conversation. Moving on, Tuesday, the world, especially within the black community, mourned the loss of civil rights pioneer Jesse Jackson, passed away at 84. We are going to dive into his impact on pop culture and just culture in general later on. I would like to introduce somebody, bring someone into the chat for this part of this State of the Scroll, which is none other than actor, educator. You know him from Compact History, Compact Civics. He is a brother from another mother from me. Corey McCants is in the building.
Yeah!
He's the only person that makes history interesting.
It tells it the right way.
So I brought him in here because I wanted to get his reaction to this. So social media seems to be in an uproar because TMZ seems to be putting out another documentary attacking Michael Jackson. There is a special that's coming on actually today as we are recording this live on YouTube. Michael Jackson, 30 Fatal Seconds, investigates fire that changed his life. Mm. Okay. We all know that in April 24th, I believe, Michael Jackson's biopic is coming out, but it seems like TMZ always likes to spice in this negative stuff about Michael. So I wanted to get Corey's reaction to this.
Man, I was.
I thought you were going to go the J. Cole route, but that's later, right?
I mean, you know we could always do that, too. thank you for that introduction, man. Yeah, I feel like hearing about TMZ always kind of comes with an eye roll. For me, I'm always kind of just like, all right, what are they going to talk about? And when you hear names like that, like MJ, it's just like, can the man just rest? You know what I mean? And I know that maybe it's divisive for some people. Some people feel how they feel or whatever, but I'm like, the man was a legend. I feel like his mark on history cannot be tainted for what he's done on all aspects outside of music. And so it's like, just let us have something. Let us enjoy this biopic for what it will be. But it does seem like they gotta come and undercut something. If it's not this, it's other, you know, people coming out with claims that are like unfounded or whatever. And so it's just like, can the man just rest? Can we let the man live in his greatness? Yeah.
It's so bizarre to me because I'm like, his hair caught on fire. Y'all acting like he Richard Pryor and burned himself up on purpose. Like, it's crazy to me.
Yeah.
I don't understand it, but TMZ always has another motive, which is, you know, where's Van Lathan? That's where.
Right. Yeah, I honestly, it's like, what insight can you give from that perspective, that one, we don't already know, that isn't going to be covered in this film, or that is actually going to be useful, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just like, all right, if you feel like you must just do it over there, I guess.
Yeah.
You can't really stop people, especially not TMZ to paparazzi and stuff. It's like, just do it over there, please.
Yeah, you know, and controversy gets clicks. So
yes. Yeah.
And that's, I think there's just so much of that. I just kind of scroll through when I see things like that, because, you know, all the attention is on Michael Jackson now. How can they spin it? How can they get their piece of the money and pie and clicks? Yeah. So, and I mean, that was a different time that that video was filmed. I mean, you think about all the restrictions being in theater, Nyla, like, you know that how
it's
things
absurd.
Change every year.
Yeah. I don't understand it, because Michael Jackson has such an influence, and you know, maybe what is on fire is the trailer. I will say, I watched all the movie, and I was like, okay, that new movie, MJ, is his nephew, and I was like, okay, that now that's fire. But it's like the Pepsi commercial where they were doing too much, like, is really, like, I just don't understand what the point. I'm like, I'd rather y'all do a documentary on Epstein,
right?
Like, go through those files,
right? Yeah.
Not the Pepsi commercial archives.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Another distraction, maybe. Oh, don't look over here.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Look over here. Look at MJ's hair.
It's always
something. And the Jerry curl on fire. Now, that's what we could learn, is that there was too much grease happening.
Yeah.
We should have checked that before. That should have been the fire safety.
There you go.
Where's the fire safety person?
There
maybe
you go.
We should have called the fire safety person. We should have checked.
You wanted something,
too much grease on the set.
Or
too much activated curl. You know what I mean? Yeah, you can't.
Because you're not supposed to do hairspray.
Right.
They didn't check his hair.
No.
That's their fault.
Yes. Yep.
And then
right.
And then they say, you know, he got on painkillers and stuff. So maybe we should get the fire safety person.
That's the version I want to hear.
Well, so, the incident, when did the incident happen?
It was in the 80s,
right?
Yeah.
So it's not like this was it's hard to point the peak of MJ, but like, it's not like that happened and then it was this downward, like, you know what I mean? You got the 90s, you got like the world tours, you got all these things that still came from it. And so that's kind of the confusing part, to say like, you know, this is the point where it all turned. It's like, Mike was eccentric no matter what.
Right.
But also, there was still this upward trajectory after that. So it's like, that's just the confusing part on where they're coming from with this, you know what I mean, with this doc. Yeah.
I mean, childhood trauma, too.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
And look at how successful the Jackson 5 were. You know, it's,
yeah.
I don't know how you take that line of the hair.
You don't. Yeah. It's like, and he's not afraid of fire because he was doing pyrotechnics popping up.
Oh,
you remember his concerts? He would just pop up and then
off
all
stage
the,
and
like that would really be when they popped. Now they probably had a good fire safety person.
You had to.
Maybe in the '80s they didn't have one though. You know, because now they have like consent coaches and stuff. Like, that's all kind of relatively new.
Yeah.
Maybe Pepsi was like, let's just do this scene and go off.
Yeah, I mean,
literally,
the 80s were a different time. And I wonder, I mean, similarly, though, like when you're on stage or in film now, it's better now. But you you realize that because the industry is so oversaturated with like, or I guess undersaturated with like people of color, you know, it's getting better now. Something like hair, you don't understand.
Right.
And so when you think about who is on the team in the 80s, who's controlling it and who's like checking stuff, there aren't many people who are dealing with Jerry curls. There aren't many people who are dealing with that fashion and that style in the same way that you come to somebody with locks in your hair and it's like the hairstylist of the film is like, I don't know what to do. You know what I mean? So it's like they don't. So it could have been something like that. Like there were people there, but they didn't know, like, well, the Jerry curl ain't going to react, you know what I mean, to this and that. And then a spark, like, so maybe it was something like that.
It had to be. I don't think they knew.
Nah.
Corey, you need to do a history segment on that. Like, just breaking down.
When did fire
80s,
come
like, all of the missteps in the 80s.
I would love that. Compact history on that, man. Yeah. We can make that happen.
That's it.
Stay tuned.
There we go.
So, keeping up with a lot of the trends that's going on now, there seems to be this trend where the younger generation is going back and looking at shows from the early 2000s.
As they should, because the shows they have are trash.
One show in particular, which we will dive into in a later show, is America's Next Top Model. Netflix. Nyla, I see that look on your face.
I just finished watching the third episode this morning.
Netflix released a 3-part docuseries on the iconic show, but shed light on the dark side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, this will be something that we will be talking about later on another episode. But what...
When Charles gets that face, I...
Because the next... Okay, so the next headline, highlight, topic that we discussed is the Olympics.
Mm. Yeah.
Concluding this week. Mm-hmm. It's not the games that we seem to be talking about.
It's too cold.
It is too cold, and because it's too cold, there needs to be some sense of warmth.
There you go.
That's how you line that up.
See?
Charles on his poetic
morning. Through the alley.
Yeah, there you go.
E! News has reported, according to E! News and numerous other outlets, there seems to be a shortage of condoms.
What makes a shortage of condoms, Charles? I mean, listen, okay, so...
There's a whole lot of activity.
It's warmth, intimate activity.
It's cold.
Yeah, balloon animals, you know what I mean? It could be anything.
You know, if you look at athletes and what they go through to prepare for the Olympics, they have that final moment, they're all done, they're celebrating. I think they just go wild. Like, you see stories about the house or the village, the Olympic village... and everybody gets crazy. So, I mean, I don't know. I think they deserve it. And good for them for protecting themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with the protection part. I'm like, if you know, if you're going to play shenanigans with people that you don't even know what they're talking about, you know, at least know that y'all wrapped it up tight.
But my question is this, okay? So, I follow boxing. MMA, wrestling. I follow that.
And I know
Let him land it.
Especially for boxing, like when you're in training mode, you cannot engage.
I was going to ask about that.
So during the Olympics, like, you are involved in, like, you are participating in the sport. You need all your stamina.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got an argument here. But what if you know you're not going to win? Because, like, the like, wait, hear me out. Because the NBA, they don't allow the they pay for them to go somewhere else. When they go to the Olympics, like, stars, they don't let them go around into the village and get down with the shenanigans.
Nah, that's probably for the best. I would argue
if I'm a country, like, you're not staying in the village. If I think you actually have potential to win, if you a gold, you know, silver, bronze, you out.
But the
likelihood of everybody getting a medal is low. So it's like, you know what? Go have fun. Like, so we need to find out, like, who can stay in the village and who can't. Because, like, LeBron and them, they're not allowed in the village.
But that's also certain sports, though. You know what I mean? Because there's some sports that are, like, world-renowned and, like, making hundreds of millions of dollars. And then you got some sports where it's, like, they only really get the recognition during the Olympics or whatever. And so if you are in your own right a mega celebrity because of your sport, then it's kind of like, should you be here possibly getting caught up in stuff and, like, maybe ending up in some TMZ type stuff? Like, nah, we don't want to risk that. So you probably shouldn't be there. But then you have, you know, hundreds of other people who are like, yeah, all I wanted to do was this sport and this is the peak of it. I'm never going to make millions from it. And so then it's like, yeah, all right, we just... chilling, the camaraderie. It's almost like college again, you know what I mean? Like, or a camp. Like, we just back together. So I do think it's like, for certain people, y'all probably shouldn't. Because, I mean, would they have soccer stars? Like, you know what I mean? Would they have these mega soccer stars staying in the village? I don't know if they do, but I feel like they probably wouldn't. Like, the big ones. Because it's just too much. It's too much risk, you know?
Well, and I think, too, with LeBron... I don't know.
Savannah said.
We ain't having that.
Yeah. You know, he's not a deep. Yeah, he's a diva. And the accommodations in the village, I guess, aren't that spectacular.
They're like dorm rooms.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and that's what I'm saying. Like, the average Olympian, it's not like they could afford a lavish lifestyle. Most of these people aren't making millions. They may get a sponsorship for whatever they're doing. And so that's something. But they're not multimillionaires on their own. So, like, they do still need stuff paid for. They do still need room and board because, like, this is the thing. You have somebody who, like, can do it on their own and make it on their, like, why would I stay in a dorm? You know what I mean? I wouldn't do that. Like, nah, I'm gonna just go ahead. And
they could also get, you know, whoever they want.
Yeah. They don't have to have a shortage of condoms. They could go. But I did hear that they was up to like $125. Like, they were buying them online. Like, they needed them that bad, and they were going for like $125.
That's insane.
For a pack of condoms, which is crazy. But that's dedication to protecting yourself, which is commendable.
I know one person who does need protection, condoms, and that's former Bills wide receiver Stephon Diggs.
Come on, Charles.
Who seems to be in the news, which we're going to dive into in this set when we come back. But he's in the news. He has recently appeared in court for his trial that he may be going to court for. Mm-hmm. He pled not guilty in his alleged chef attack during the season. He was accused of strangling or suffocating Mila Adams on December 2nd, according to police reports.
Didn't something come out that there was a possible romantic situation?
We can dive all into that when we get back.
Okay, I'm just making sure I got my facts straight.
I'm ready for this one because
over there.
I have thoughts about the whole court situation.
So we're going to dig into that. Coming up next. No pun intended. Coming up next, and we'll add another guest, a special guest to the chat. It's not Stephon Diggs. that's next on Group Chat.
Trust doesn't happen by accident. It's built through careful reporting, verified facts, and respect for the audience. BTPM NPR's local journalists take the time to get it right, covering the issues shaping Western New York and Southern Ontario.
Immigration consultants like Tatiana Cabrera say they're seeing more interest in people coming to Canada, but warn there are still many hurdles to overcome.
It's not sort of a free-for-all type of an application, but I think it's still worth attempting for many people who see that they have either parent, grandparent, great-grandparent who may have been born in Canada.
UPD responded to a reported serious concern based on credible information and followed established police procedures. According to court filings from police, the students only had a photo to identify the person who made the threats.
News without spin, context without noise. This is Public Media.
Public media starts here, in our neighborhoods, our schools, our city halls, where decisions meet real life. BTPM NPR's local reporters are asking the questions that matter, listening to the people affected, and explaining what it all means for our region.
There's a lot of poor record keeping. There are records that lists that don't reconcile with other lists. There's a lot of gasoline that's being used that isn't properly accounted for. And there are a lot of people with take-home vehicles.
That's Erie County Comptroller Kevin Hardwick. He's outlining just a few of the issues his office found when conducting an audit of the county's vehicle fleet.
From paper trails to public impact, this is journalism that stays with the story and with the community it serves. Buffalo Toronto Public Media NPR produces journalism with depth, care, and purpose. This is Public Media.
Welcome back to Group Chat. I'm Bentley, here with Naila Ansari-Cotillo, who we're a team now.
Yeah, we're getting
we became
getting
friends
all the topics
from Group Chat, and now we are inseparable. So, also here with Corey McCants. You know him from Compact History, Compact Civics, actor, everything else. And we're going to talk more about one of your endeavors coming up, a play that you're going to be in. And I'm so excited to welcome to the chat Chef Darian Bryan, celebrity chef. Ooh. Darian.
There we go.
Come on, don't do it.
The respect on his name.
And that Birdman.
This is why we took this chat to video, because you have to be able to see these people. Like, we would be doing a disservice to you if we didn't. If Darian didn't get to show off his style. Corey was
that
actually
boy,
commenting.
Clean.
If y'all, they only listening, they don't know what clean look like.
You got the same color on.
Yeah, I mean, I told you I'm trying to be like you, man.
Come on.
That's my dream.
Smell like this guy. This guy smells great.
Corey said, I'm going to look fly and smell good this morning because Darian on today.
You got to compete, you know what I mean?
Look good,
Chef
cook good,
here.
Smell good.
There you go, man.
Look at that.
There you go.
All the above.
The whole picture. So, you're on a show currently, on a competition. Yep. Can you talk a little bit about that, Darian? I know there's an episode tonight.
Yeah, so I'll be on tonight, 8 p.m. on Fox. And let me tell you, Next Level Chef, it's a whole different level of madness. You're familiar with the show, right? You know, different levels, different categories of chefs. I'm in the pro category. And tonight is the draft, so they're going to pick your teams tonight. So I don't know what team I'm going to be on yet. I kind of know, but you got to.
We know that, yeah. He can't tell us.
Tune in.
But yeah, tune in. Okay. And then we're going to battle. And every day, every week, somebody go home. So, yeah.
If you want people to listen or to watch, I'm sorry, how do they do that?
So every Thursday, 8 p.m. on Fox, and then next day on Hulu. So you can, if you watch, if you don't watch it live, then you can watch it next day.
I gotcha.
It's funny,
gotcha.
When I go to my mom's house, she always watching it. I'm like, yo, it's just always in repeat, you know? Because it's a little backstory of my life, yeah. I've been growing up too.
And that's what she watches that on
and
repeat.
And my kids do the same thing too because they saw themselves on the TV. Oh, there I am. I'm like, so when they go to school now, it's a thing. Like, you see me on TV last night?
Yeah.
Yo, you're doing that, man.
They're just
different.
Like pausing it.
Yeah. Right, right.
Taking picture of their tablet. Oh, there I am.
I'm sure.
Like, yo, chill out.
Chef Derek gonna end up on YouTube Kids. Yeah.
But your background getting to this point and being on TV, you have been a chef for celebrities. You also own a restaurant, Brad's Hill, the Plating Society for private dinners. Mm. How did you get into the celebrity chef realm of being a chef for famous people, including Bills players, some we've mentioned today?
I heard. I'm not that guy, but he was one of my main client though. Yeah. But Vontae Davis, remember Vontae from the Buffalo Bills? Mm-hmm. Retired at halftime. Mm-hmm. Remember that guy? Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was the first guy I ever cooked for. So I saw him walking in the restaurant one day. I'm like, who's this Batman walking in here? Because I was in Hamburg, right?
Oh, yeah.
I opened this restaurant in Hamburg. I'm like, there's no black folks here. Yeah. So he was the first Batman ever seen in a restaurant. I'm like, holy crap. Somebody who look like me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we start talking. He's like, you know, I'm playing for the Buffalo Bills. Can it be my personal chef? I'm like, I never done it before, but I'll try, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So when he retired, he fly me to Miami to these events for him.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I meet all these players from his events. So those players start flying me to wherever they live to do events for them too. So that's the one guy opened that door for me, Vontae Davis.
Yeah.
Who unfortunately passed away too, right, 2 years ago. Right. Yeah.
It's not just that he opened it. He opened the door, but you walked through that joint.
Absolutely.
Like, if you wasn't the level you at.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's funny because he saw me and he's like, why does this guy look so clean? He's a chef.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he wanted to get to know me, like, what else do you do? I'm like, I just cook, you know what I mean? So, I mean, Dick Skin Matoni heard about me, hit me up on Instagram. And at first I told him no.
Chefs.
Yeah, right? Because
All right.
But you know what? It's not just food, you know what I mean? It's responsibility, right?
Yeah.
Make sure you take care of them. So I'm like, there's no money in this, you know what I mean? He said, I don't want to do this again. So Diggs is like, how much would it be for you to say yes? I'm like, okay, I'm going to give him my price. He's going to say no.
Mm-hmm.
Gave him my price. He's like, that's cool.
I'm like, oh, man.
Wow.
And I'm glad I did that because he opened so many doors for me too. Like, I was at the house every night cooking every night. And then Josh, all those guys are coming for dinner and like 12 guys on a night, you know what I mean? So then those guys are after me cooking for them too.
Yeah. There you go, yeah.
So no, I don't really do it anymore. I just hire people. Like, I got staff who, like, if a player called me, I'll just send somebody there.
Mm-hmm.
I still go to Josh. He's probably the only one I really go to. And Terrence Johnson and Poyer. Yeah, those guys are my main guys right now. Other than that, I'll send somebody else there. Mm.
So is there, what can you explain the pressure? I mean, being a chef in general can be a high stress job. We see a lot of things in pop culture, you know, talking about that. But to be a chef for high profile people, can you talk a little bit about that and what that's like?
You know, it's a lot of pressure because you care about it, right? You don't want to mess up. People like, do you still get nervous? I'm like, I still do get nervous because I care about it so much. I don't want to mess up, you know what I mean? Plus, they're inviting all these other big ballers in too. Like, Josh would have me come to the house and vomit. Everybody's there, you know what I mean? So I got to make, and these guys know good food, you know what I mean? Because they travel the world, they have good food. So you got to always wow them. And it's trust too, right? They're going to let I'm a stranger going in their house, right?
Right.
They're gonna make sure this guy is not gonna come here and take, you know, all these photos and videos and posting online.
Right. Yeah.
So they gotta trust you. And their family is there too. So they wanna make sure that everything is solid. Mm. You gotta be flexible too, because these guys never on time, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's so true.
If they say dinner is at 8, prepare for 10 o'clock. That's just the way it is. Man. Just gotta be flexible. That's it's tough. And you gotta be consistent too.
Yeah.
Because I remember I hired a few chef for Vaughn over time. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, he's not working. Can he give me somebody else? And I just like always just trying to find a different chef for this guy because he's so, I don't want to say picky. You know what he wants.
He knows what he likes. Yeah.
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 And he's like, I'm paying all his bread and I'm getting this food. I'm like, so I have to end up taking over the contract again until I find someone solid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When I find someone solid, it's like I check in on the account, like I'll check in on Josh to see how he's doing over there. Vaughn Miller, Turn Johnson, I got, you know, chef who work full time, you know, I'm like, I had a chef working for Vaughn, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I would just pull up whenever I want. And nobody know I'm coming. Because if they know I'm coming, they're going to make sure everything is nice and garnished.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Listen, and if I got to that level, I would have a personal chef.
Yeah.
Why not?
All day long. Like, I mean,
you don't have to worry about it. If you want to stay like in a certain weight bracket or
diet. I was going to say, especially nutrition is thing, really important.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. 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 So how did, I remember you telling a story about how you started to dress the way you do when you do the dinners, because if you do a private dinner with you, you're not wearing a white chef.
Well, you experience that too.
I experience that, and it's next level. But there's a story next behind level. That.
Well, my thing is that if it dressed like a king, they'll treat it like a king, right? Mm. So that's why I always put my best foot forward, and I just didn't want to be the average chef. Because most chefs, they just be locked away in the back of the house. Nobody get to see them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to be front and center. So in order for me to do that, I have to dress a certain way. Because these big dogs, they don't want a regular, believe it or not, they don't want a regular guy around them. You know what I mean? If, you know, they got an AP, I got an AP too. You know what I mean? If they got this, I got that too. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're dressed in a dress. It's just one of those things. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you have it, I have it too. So don't try to play me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a pro, you're a pro. That's just, that's why I love Josh so much, because he respect that. He said to me one night I was there, he's like, you do what you do and I do what I do. People pay millions to play football. They don't pay me millions yet, but, you know, to cook.
Right,
But it's like, you're on the top of your game, I'm on top of my game, so you respect that.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these little rookies, they don't understand, like, listen, I'm here because I want to be here. It's just like, you know, it's just, I'm just helping out whenever I can, but don't try to play me.
Real talk, because it's like, it does seem like when you're in a space, to let somebody know that you're an equal, you have to appear that. Mm-hmm. If you appear like, oh, I'm just here to, you know, I don't want to, they treat you like that.
Yeah.
So when you come up, come correct, like, no, we equal. We peer, we both men, we both went, whatever. Like, they, you know what I mean? They act
accordingly.
I know
it's crazy because I'm so much older than most of them, too. They call me for advice and a lot of stuff. Relationship, all this stuff. And I feel like a dad to some of these guys. I'm like, yo. If they get stuck in snow, they call me. I'm like, what do you think is going to happen to me? I'm being stuck too.
Right, we're all going to be stuck. I can't help you with that.
And you grew up in Jamaica. I mean,
if the car of a old and tired, they call me. Like, if they need tents, they call me. I'm like, I'm just the food, they call me. I'm just the guy for these guys, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, a big brother over here.
Yeah.
Love it though, you know, it's all love.
You come together around food too. I mean,
it's a fact.
Nayla does want to know why Diggs didn't dress up more for court.
Yeah, you don't have his attorney. Well, Daddy Chef Darian can answer. Maybe he did, but I would have tore him up coming into court the way he came into court. I'm like, I need you to have your hair done.
Yeah.
And I need you to be dressed up.
Because he didn't listen to you, Chef Darian.
You got to give him some advice on
that. Diggs used to pick on me a lot. So when I used to be at Diggs, I was cooking, and he's like, I used to wear like the regular chef jacket. And he's like, man, that's cheap, man. I was like, man, that's cheap. So, and I started getting my custom stuff now. I got Adrian Jules, does all my suits and all my uniform. And he come over and said, oh, okay, cool. I'm like, yeah, because I spent $3,000 in these. Yeah,
yeah. It better be good.
Yeah, but yeah, so.
But the judge don't know that. Though. They just know funny. You don't look, they don't care about what, they don't care if it's Gucci.
Right.
If they can't tell it look nice.
Yeah.
You in court, my man.
Right.
Get your, you, yeah, I would have tore him up. As soon as he walked out, I might have told the judge, you know what, hold up a minute. And we might have had to go to the store down the street.
We'll be back. We'll
get
be
a little
back.
Jacket yeah. or something.
Yeah.
Nyla, mm-hmm. we need to still figure out some sort of consulting situation.
Oh, I would have had him. I would have had him gather for court. Would have been. You would have not looked guilty walking in. We would have like everybody would have been like, you know what? I don't know.
How? Yeah. How could it look? Do you see the way he dressed?
Yeah.
How could it?
They wouldn't have cared about Cardi or none of that stuff.
Yeah, appearance is like before my food hit the table, people felt my presence. Like, okay, yeah. this guy, yeah. he's here. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
yeah. Yeah,
and
man.
I think it's hard to navigate those worlds, you know, because when you're used to being an athlete, you can kind of do what you want. Because people, you know, you can come in those spaces.
Yeah.
Them judges cared zero about that.
I feel like when you get to that point with Dex, you just he is what he is.
Yeah,
about.
Yeah. Look,
like,
but if it's
you
my
know
life,
you can
child.
Dress him. Right. 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 Yeah.
You've seen it, yeah.
He's the best in the business.
Yeah.
So as we're talking about this, I got to switch gears a little bit because I want to make sure that we are talking about Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Yeah.
His passing. And when we were talking about this, I think about how he was always so well-dressed.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he had to, in the spaces he was in early on and you know, during civil rights movements, it wasn't really an option, right, Nyla?
Yeah, not in politics, especially for Black men in the civil rights movement, because they lived in that respectability politics. We aren't kind of in that world now where people, you can just be who you are and there's an acceptance. Like, you're at that point, you're trying to fight for civil rights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have to be on the same playing field, even though you know you're not, but you don't want anyone to say anything about you. So when you walk into the room, you have to look like you're on point. Even when he played basketball, there's, you know, the famous picture of him, you know, rocking it out. Like, he was slick. My man was smooth.
Yeah.
And everything else. But I think Jesse Jackson was someone that you admired because not only was he what some people would consider radical to some extent, but he fought for not only Black people, but he fought for human rights, and he did it on a level that most people can't even imagine. Like, to run for president and to get as far as he did and the brilliance that he did is uncanny. You don't see it any more. Even, and a lot of people don't know he was, you know, the chairman for Obama when he was running for president. So he was always in the background. And, you know, he was there as assassination of MLK. So the history of Jesse Jackson, you know, lives on.
Yeah.
Even though he's
You're talking from the heart of the civil rights all the way to Obama. So
that's no joke.
Talk about seeing it to fruition. He, in the 80s, was running for president when it was like, a Black president never, and then was, you know, on a committee when the first Black president actually got elected. Like, that right there is a legacy.
And just to see him cry, I don't know if you know, remember when Obama first got elected and you just saw the tears in his eyes because, you know, in his lifetime, he never thought he would see that. But my man was clean, even when he got diagnosed with Parkinson's and he was in his wheelchair. Clean, okay.
Yep. If it's one thing he's gonna do,
one thing Jesse Jackson's gonna do clean, and he had that hair cut enough so if it caught on, it wouldn't catch on fire. It was cut just enough. That curl was tight just enough.
I'm telling you.
And how did he become such a? He was an icon in so many levels.
Mm-hmm.
So he was in a way, a pop culture icon, because you saw him whenever there was certain subjects that were talked about, he was the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was up until, I mean, he passed away at 84 and he was still the guy.
Yeah.
So what made him so appealing? I mean, outside of all of the amazing things that he did intellectually, but what made him as a person so appealing to listen to him?
I mean, I think the first thing is consistency.
Yeah.
To have a mission like that, and to have it for so long and to never veer off of it, something like that just lets you know, like, this is somebody I confide in, this is somebody I trust. And so whenever stuff is hitting the fan, if he is there, his presence is there, and he's working towards it, like I said, to be like, oh, well, I mean, to be connected to MLK is a thing in itself.
Yeah. I mean, y'all see, I got the...
Feel me?
So to be there for that, you already have some type of, like, status, like, trust. And then to see that continue on, whether it be your friends being assassinated or being put in jail or whatever, to see that, like, I'm not giving up. And then to see it, oh, it's not just Black people. It's also human rights. It's also for women's rights. Mm-hmm. It's like that kind of person is like, how could you not be drawn to that or trust that person from this many decades on? You know what I mean?
And then how does that carry on? Because I know, Corey, you host a show, Compact History, yeah. Compact Civics.
Yeah.
Nayula, you yeah. are a professor at Buff State in Black Studies. How do you continue his legacy, especially with younger generations mm-hmm. as they get more removed from that time?
I personally think that the skill, the oratory skill has to come back
yes.
because we've lost a lot of yes. connection in terms of actually just speaking. You know, all of them are well-read, even if everyone didn't go to college like a Malcolm X. They had such a articulation of the English language mm-hmm. to speak to people. And I always think of Jesse Jackson as like, I am somebody.
Yeah.
You know, like just
yeah.
such just clean, short phrases like that to make you really think that you were somebody that can make a change.
Yeah. Yeah. Make it cool to read again.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
That kind of stuff. Like, yeah. no matter what you're doing, being yeah. fresh, like dressing the part
yep.
and like having that, like you said, like being an orator, like having that be the cool thing.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I want to talk like that dude. I want to, you know what I mean? That yeah. is yeah. the cool mm-hmm. thing.
Well, that, you know, you even bring that in to your work, Darian. Like when somebody does a private dinner, you go out, you tell the story, of
yes.
getting there.
Yes, that makes
and
a difference.
And that adds to mm-hmm. that experience. Mm-hmm. And it's inspiring.
Yes, yeah.
It's inspirational. So maybe if there's somebody in the room that's thinking they can't do something or they didn't think they could get to that level, that inspiration storytelling mm-hmm. is
you
very.
Matter.
Yeah.
You say, I am somebody,
yeah.
right?
Yep, yep.
Because
yep.
like coming here from Jamaica too is like, I didn't know much and mm-hmm. I struggle. Mm-hmm. I couldn't speak English, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, properly. And people are like, this guy is so weird. Mm. And for one point, I thought I was weird too, because I'm like, I'm so different from everybody else around
right,
me.
Right, right.
But that never stopped me. That never discouraged me. I get up and I grind every day. Let's get it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next on Group Chat, we're going to dive a little more into the food stuff. So we need to talk to everybody about fish fries and get everybody's opinion on fish fries. Mm. I know it sounds like it's not connected, but it is. So that's next on Group Chat.
Calling all storytellers in kindergarten through third grade. The Buffalo Toronto Public Media PBS Kids Writers Contest is back. Here are the details for parents, caregivers, and educators. Kid writers from Western New York and Southern Ontario can send us their stories until March 31st for a chance to win prizes and be featured in a celebration live streamed from our studios. Don't wait. Visit btpm.org/writerscontest to submit your entry today.
Public media keeps our community talking and thinking together. Hear perspectives that matter on BTPM NPR. Experience meaningful stories on BTPM PBS. Enjoy performances that connect us on BTPM Classical and discover new voices on BTPM The Bridge. These are conversations that shape our region and open our world. This is public media. Visit btpm.org.
Public media starts here, in our neighborhoods, our schools, our city halls, where decisions meet real life. BTPM NPR's local reporters are asking the questions that matter, listening to the people affected, and explaining what it all means for our region.
There's a lot of poor record keeping. There are records that lists that don't reconcile with other lists. There's a lot of gasoline that's being used that isn't properly accounted for. And there are a lot of people with take-home vehicles.
That's Erie County Comptroller Kevin Hardwick. He's outlining just a few of the issues his office found when conducting an audit of the county's vehicle fleet.
From paper trails to public impact, this is journalism that stays with the story and with the community it serves. Buffalo Toronto Public Media NPR produces journalism with depth, care, and purpose. This is public media.
Welcome back to Group Chat. I'm Bentley. Nayula and I are together on the couch. Nayula, I'm sorry, Cotillo. And we're joined by Corey McCants and Chef Darian Bryan. So we've been talking about a lot of different things, pop culture, and you're probably wondering why I just talked about fish fries. So yes, it is fish fry season. And there are a lot of things in this area, Western New York, Buffalo, that there's some food trends that you know, we dive into sometimes. Fish fries, Lent coincides with, it was just Ash Wednesday, and that lasts until April. And the best thing was when we were in the topics meeting for this episode, because yes, there's the Fish Fry Babes social media account, there's maps, there's brackets, but Charles chimed in about something.
Charles.
That was very important to this discussion. Charles, can you give us a frame of reference of fish fries, not just being during Lent?
Okay. So we had this conversation, obviously, it's Black History Month, and this conversation of fish fry came up, and I said, you know, there's this stigma, stereotype, that Black people love fish fries.
Interesting.
Every Friday.
That's so true.
See?
You even got Nayu on that
one. It's true.
I was dying in the meeting. Charles just said it so matter of fact.
There has to be. Never mind.
So was it stolen? Is that?
It's one of those like urban stories that like I just don't understand. It's like, why do we like fish fries? Like, why? Like, I know people who don't enjoy fish fries.
Yeah.
And then there's others that every Friday, we know, you go to the Bailey Seafood Spot, they're there. Or Crenshaw's, they're there. Getting their fish fries.
And year
they
round.
Thrive. Yeah.
Year round. Yeah, it's not just
during. Yeah.
It's not just, like, for this particular...
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah. But I do think fresh fries are different. When folks are doing like lit fresh fries, which arguably usually is white folks.
Yeah.
It's different. Right. They got like a coleslaw and a french fry. Yeah. But like Black folks, it's like fish and like greens and
mac and cheese and
yams. Like they're not getting like that kind of a fresh fry. Like I think the fish fry idea is just like, I think it's very different culturally for different people.
Exactly.
Because a fish fry is just like, it could be catfish, it could be perch. You know what I mean? Like it's not like just like the haddock. I think Black people think of fish, when people talk about fish fries, it's like, oh, we just got to get back to the church for Lent. Like,
Yeah.
I don't know.
I wonder, because I guess I never thought about how, you know, Black people and fish fries, but like, I wonder if it is connected to church though. Cause like my earliest memories of fish fry would be at my grandma's church. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we're making a fish fry to raise money for something.
Yep.
So like everybody's at the church buying it to support or whatever. And it kind of just becomes like, a thing.
Why
that's
fish?
They fell in love, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, fish.
Well, if you're a Catholic, it's quick to make.
Yeah.
Oh, it's, yes.
Yeah.
Normally people go fishing too, you know what I mean? And get a fish.
That,
and
that you can that make it, too.
But it's funny because my in-laws, they love fish fry. Whenever we go out, that's what they get. They're not Black.
No matter what.
Yeah, they just love the fish fry, you know what I mean? So it's very interesting.
Well, let me ask this though, because when I think of fish, like when I think of Bailey Seafood versus like, a white picnic or something like that.
Yeah.
Like is it the batter? Is it like there's fish fries?
Because there's like beer batter. So
this is what I'm thinking. Yeah. I've had fish fries from places that are not Bailey Seafood where like you bite into it and the batter is like almost separate. Like it like opens up. It's like the coating is, I don't know what it is, but it's like the fish could almost fall out.
Yes.
So there's a difference, and I'm wondering, like, does that have something to do with it? Because for me, that fish fry is like, this is some fried fish, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah, well, I don't know.
I mean, I guess my experience with fish fries was growing up Catholic, so.
that's my point.
And, you know, basically living in a meat and potatoes household.
So when you
couldn't eat meat on Friday, like, oh, fried white fish
at a diner
with French fries or something, you know?
Yeah.
And then I think that is just, I mean, and maybe restaurants kind of glommed on to that to be like, oh, you know.
I think so, because Black folks call them dinners. Like, you know, I'm about to go to me a dinner on Friday. And it's like, anybody else want a dinner?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, everybody want to pitch in money. I'm going to pick up four dinners.
Yeah.
And it's usually, it could be at the church or
I think that's connected to either the church or like, I mean, I have friends who's in high school, like their parents were really good at like front. So like they would sell meals, you know what I mean? Yeah. Stuff like that. But I think
with the white piece of Wonder Bread.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, so I've had all of these renditions because
okay.
Bentley.
I had to explore options, you know?
Yeah.
Especially when I, you know, moved out of the middle of nowhere. I lived in different cities, so I'm like, I gotta check out the options here. And the batter thing always, I don't know how to order because Darian, what is this made out of? I mean, is it separate? I love
no.
So it, when it falls out of the fried situation.
Yeah.
It's just too much. They put too much bread on it.
Yeah, because it's supposed to stick on.
Yeah, so normally I do it, I season the fish, which most people don't season the fish.
Yep.
Well, that's probably.
Then I go some dry bread in, then I put it in the batter. Dip it in there and take it out. Some people just say, sit there, say, Gus, I have all this batter.
Oh.
So you got this much batter and this much fish.
Yeah.
And just fall off like, what do you call those? Corn dog. I don't know.
Yeah.
The bread is just too much. It's just like all this. There's no fish. You know what I mean?
That's how old school, like black Southern grandmas would make it real quick and then just fry it out. Like, we're not doing all that batter.
Yeah.
Or you can just do like a dry,
Gotcha.
I love the dry Louisiana seasoning. You know
that?
Yep.
That one is nice and crispy, not too much batter.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do it all. I do the combination. Coleslaw, all of that stuff.
Macaroni salad.
Macaroni salad. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. All the salads weren't a thing. I think that's just all the stuff that's been
added to it. Yeah.
And why do we need that big of a piece of fish?
I never finish it.
It's like this big.
I don't think anybody does, but that's always because that's supposed to be for the second day,
right?
Because
once
I get a dinner, we're not cooking the next day.
No,
that's how that works.
Some, you gotta save.
You just it's enough. It's enough.
The bread get worse reheating that thing.
Well,
soggy. Like shrivel up.
Chef Darian talking about like food science. He's like, it's probably not really good the second day.
He didn't even want to have this conversation.
He was Chef Darian is like, yuck.
Can I exit the chat?
Good fish fry. I used to go to this place, ANC Meat, out in Hamburg, to get my fish fry. They do a really good job there.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't really go out to, I'm going to get a fish fry. It's just that something that.
You don't base your Friday on that?
Yeah, no.
You're kind of busy.
Yeah. I'm working.
You got stuff going on, you know?
I'm working.
But how do these foods become connected and popular? I mean, I think restaurants obviously drive that conversation or that, you know, marketing. It's kind of like wings and buffalo. And, you know, even pierogies at the Olympics. Weren't the Polish team was holding up pierogi stuffies at the Olympics?
Oh, I didn't see that one.
You wouldn't shock me.
Right.
So how do we make these foods? How do they get to be so iconic?
I think someone has a really good one and then it just goes viral and everyone just anticipates everything's going to be good.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes it depends on where it is too. If it's easy to eat, people are going to be, okay, I could be in a stadium or wherever eating this, like the chicken wings, the pierogi, you can just like, you know,
much
to it to eat, you know what I mean?
Just so you are updated, it was Team Poland who has their unofficial mascot is the pierogi.
Mm. Did that just start? Or
and that would be amazing.
There is a lot of Polish influence in Buffalo.
Yes.
So you do see the pierogies being made at churches. But I just feel like it's universal now that the team Poland has endorsed it.
Yeah.
So, and Darian, for you, I remember you talking about this before. I think it was at the dinner. It was off mic about how when you moved here from Jamaica, your first job cooking was where?
The Denny's.
Yeah.
Denny's in Delaware. Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Very first cooking job.
Oh, you
got to
be
US.
Quick at Denny's.
And you?
Look, people don't know. If you got you a real chef?
You know what? I tell most of my chefs, I got like 30 employees overall now. Man, listen, you guys need to start that like a breakfast spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speed, consistency.
Yeah.
I know why it's important to get stuff out hot, fat, efficiently.
That's no joke.
I mean? And Denny's was no joke. Like on Saturday and Sunday after church,
oh,
man.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're making stuff to order. It's not like you have a big stuff, a big batch of stuff.
Right.
You're making
right.
eggs to order. So it teach me so much, yeah. man. Speed,
and people are funny about their food. So oh, you gotta yeah. be quick and because they'll send yeah. it back and you're like, oh, I gotta do this again.
Right.
When the black folks come in and the grits is not right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Always.
We'll send that grits back. I'm like, okay.
So, and you didn't know how to make, you had never seen a pancake.
Never seen bacon. Man, I struggled at that place for a minute because I'm like, because I grew up in the country, no electric, no
yeah,
water,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I grew up on this little hill called Bratsy. That's what the name from a restaurant called.
Yeah, from. Okay.
So I'm just a country boy.
Yeah.
I chase chickens every day for fun.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what
yeah.
I mean? And coming to the U.S. and just throw me into it, I'm like, we call that a pear back. Oh, that's avocado, you know?
It's
all a different name for
right,
stuff.
Right.
Like, this doesn't make no sense, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild.
So, things that we just, I guess, take for granted that's food that you know?
That is great. Never seen a pancake.
Never
that's
seen a pancake.
Crazy.
Bacon and ham, I used to get them mixed up. They dropped two slices of bacon. I dropped some two ham. Because I didn't know what the difference is until I have to go home and watch videos and practice Denny's menu. Something else, I tell you.
Oh.
The influence that you brought to Buffalo, now we get to experience that food at Bratz Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And then for your catering and your private chef dinners, you're all over the map, right?
Yes, pretty much you could come to me at the Plating Society, which you got to experience, and I can come to your home too. So wherever, like these places fly me to Miami all over to do these events. Actually, I'm going to New York City next month. For a few days for a big expo I got to do there, some live cooking for a company. And then I'll be in D.C. the following month to do another one, too. So we have fun with it.
Yeah.
We have fun with it.
And I have to say, it's quick because, you know, I love my Jamaican food.
Yeah.
But sometimes they take a long time.
that's the thing I'm trying to change, though. That's the culture I'm trying to change. Because I'm like, listen,
quick.
I tell my staff, I'm like, listen, we don't want to be the average Jamaican spot. Mm-hmm. Great service. We're polite, we're kind. Got them Jamaicans, they're something
listen,
different.
Listen.
Asking for extra oxygen gravy, they'll cut you out.
I'm telling you, man. I'm
so
telling
you. Like, yeah, it'll be different, you know what I mean?
You changed the culture that way because you'd be like, oh, my man.
Right,
it's like a whole day's event. If we going out, like everybody, we all going out so we can hang.
Corey, what do you have coming up? A play.
I'm in a play. It's been a while since I've done some stage Woo-hoo! Work. But I'm in a play. It's called The Brother Size. It's at Ujima, the Ujima Theater Company. It was at 429 Plymouth. And it starts the 27th of this month. So, yeah, get your tickets, man. It's a small cast, three actors. Man. It's a beautiful story. The writer of Moonlight, Oscar-winning Moonlight, that is the writer of this. This is one of his earlier pieces, but it's amazing. Curtis Lavelle is directing it, so you already know it's going to be magic. And Nava Hawk is everybody involved.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it. I truly am. So, yeah, that's what I got.
We'll be circling back on that
Thank you, bro.
And now I'm hungry again. So, Darian, I think next time you come in, because you know you love to come on the show.
Yeah.
I'm always
you know where to find me.
Right?
After this show, I don't know. He's going to be like, you made me talk about fish fries.
I'll bring some Rasta pasta next time.
There we go.
So good.
Or some jerk lobster tacos.
That's good.
Be making those very soon, so stick around.
Shoot.
Stay tuned.
Bring me back on that day. Yeah.
And we can follow your journey on Fox, right?
Yeah.
To see.
Follow my journey. Every Thursday night until they kick me off. 8 p.m., baby.
All right. And Naila, we're just always going to be back here.
Yeah, we'll be here doing all the things.
Oh, I got to give a shout out to Noah.
Oh, Noah, yes.
So Naila's son Noah, nobody
out
of school this week.
Yeah.
So Naila's been hanging out, Noah's been hanging out in the control room. So you might hear him on group chat next
Hey,
week.
Noah.
Pretty good. Yeah. So thank you for joining us on group chat. Charles, how do they engage with us until next time?
Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe.
Yeah, boy.
Get
right
it.
There. I'm going to get Bailey to create a situation. Lower
you
third.
Right. You got to smash that like button. Smash that subscribe button, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So let my kids always like and subscribe.
Always like and subscribe. Like and subscribe.
All right. Thanks to Chef Darian, Corey McCants, and Ayla Ansari Cotillo. Even though I don't thank you anymore because
we're just here.
We're just friends here. Yeah. And we'll see you next week on Group Chat.